This is Ted Ostrowski, oral interview for Dr. Burton Peretti's oral history report. Thank you for coming today. If you could start, could you tell me your name, please?
Yes, my name is Joe Testa.
And if you could just give me some background information, where you were born, how old you are, your family.
Yes, I was born in Rubiano, Italy, and I came over to the United States in 1971, March 18th. I now reside in Cheshire. I have three children, and I'm 51 years old. I came over when I was 13.
Now, your family in Italy, how many brothers, sisters did you have growing up?
I have one older brother and one younger sister growing up. My younger sister and I came to the country first, and my brother followed with my mother a month later.
What's a distinct memory growing up in Italy? Something that sticks out in your mind is...
Sure. Celebrating the holidays, especially Christmas, was a special time for us there. Basically, the whole family, and large family it is, we get together every night of during December at someone else's house and shared, stories from the older folks told us about stories of the old days and how it was there for them growing up and some of the challenges that they had and. Basically, it was the closeness of the family and the whole community that really sticks in my mind.
Now, was that a family tradition to get together every night of December? Because I know that's not something that's traditional here in America. Usually, it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Was that a family tradition or something that the country celebrated?
No, it was smaller towns near Naples. They all celebrated the same way. Basically, they went from house to house and. During the month of December and building towards Christmas and the dinners got longer and longer as we went through and the party grew better and better as we got closer to Christmas. But it was a tradition specifically for that area of Italy. I don't think it was for the whole country.
Thank you. What age did you come over to America?
I was almost 13 years old. I was in the middle of my eighth. It was in the middle of my eighth grade that we came over. We did come over in March. I remember coming over and to Kennedy Airport, and first time I was ever out of on a plane. First of all, and out of the country, obviously, just remembering how big the cars were back in the 70s. And how larger and just bigger New York was than anything I've ever seen before. So that was a shock. I got lost in the airport because I wasn't used to the automatic doors. You know, when you step on it, the door open. I've never seen that before. So my parents went through the airport, and obviously the door closed, and I was turned around looking at something else, and I wasn't paying attention. So I sort of like lost sight of my family, and I was all nervous and everything, and they finally came back and got me out because I wasn't sure how to open the door. I've never seen it before. That was my first experience here.
Was it tough moving at that age? Because I understand my grandparents came over, or one of my grandparents came over when he was very young. So he wasn't as established in his town in terms of friends, relations. Was it difficult leaving your school, your classmates?
It was very, very difficult. Especially my friends at that age, we were very, very close. The town was small. There was, as I remember, 800. The town was 800 people in total, and we had a very, very close group of kids who we obviously. Played together, played sports, mostly soccer, and went to school together. We did everything together, hung out together. And yes, to leave at that age and just leave everything behind, it was very, very, very difficult to get adjusted in this country. I didn't speak the language, and I didn't know anybody, and it was really, really hard to get over.
What area did your family move to?
We moved to Bridgeport, we were all separated. my sister and my brother and my mother lived in Southington, and I lived in Bridgeport with my dad. And I attended, I finished my eighth grade at Blackham Middle School in Bridgeport. I did graduate on time when most of my friends actually had stayed back a year to get caught up with language. I did graduate on time. And my junior year I attended, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year I attended Central High School in Bridgeport. And in my senior year, 1973, the summer of 73, we moved to Southington, and that's where I graduated high school from Southington High School.
Now, when you came here and you said you finished the eighth grade here,
yes,
was it how was your classes set up? Because obviously you didn't speak any English. So I know my grandparents back when they went to school, they actually had bilingual classes. How difficult was it to learn your schoolwork?
Yeah, it was very, 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 very difficult. Fortunately for me, the language was a barrier, and I did have an ESL teacher that worked with me one-on-one, specifically in turning the tongue of the language into words, because the Italian, there's no turning of the tongues. Everything, all the pronunciation is just smooth, you know. And that was difficult to make the sounds come out. She worked with me very, very well. In math, I was, I could say that I was 2 to 3 years ahead of my classmates here, so math wasn't a problem, because math is a universal language.
Numbers and numbers.
Right, numbers and numbers. So that didn't have any, and sciences and biologies. I mean, I pretty much knew, you know, from being in Italy, I was up on all those subjects anyway. So someone did translate for me, so I was able to pass all the tests and all that. So that, luckily, I brought my records over. They saw what classes I took and what grades I had, and the principal there made a decision to not to keep me back, to make me go to summer school and learn the language rather than keep me back and lose a year.
Well, your translator and the woman who worked with you, was she your main source for how you learned the language? How did you come to learn English?
Right. She was my main source at school. That was my contact at school to help me with school. But as far as learning a language was, I loved watching cartoons on TV. Back then was the Flintstones, Popeye, all those type of cartoons. And believe it or not, by sitting and watching them, and I did learn a lot of the words. I was able to communicate with my friends, but the slang I didn't understand. You know, when someone would say, wow, back then, you know, in the 70s, you know, he's cool. I try to translate. How do you translate something like set to say that he's cool? Or back then you would say, you know, you're hip. You know, what does that mean, your hip? You know, so I would look it up in the dictionary. It didn't make any sense to me. So that was the hard part. But as far as learning the language, also my neighborhood friends did help a lot. I had to adjust in sports because I played only soccer. Coming to this country, I had to play, we played, you know, baseball and basketball. And just hanging out on the street with those kids, I was able to pick up words by listening more than obviously talking, because I couldn't do much conversation back then.
Now, you went to school in the 70s, and certainly during the 60s, it was a difficult time in terms of prejudices and racism. Did you feel any disrespect towards you as you were growing up? Because, I mean, obviously, people look at you and they don't automatically assume you're from Italy, but.
Right. Absolutely. That was difficult because I was, as I dressed the way we dressed in Europe, and, you know, a lot of the kids would not understand that, you know, the style we wore, they were totally different in style here. Jeans were back in the 60s and late 60s in Italy, jeans weren't, you know, what we wore. We wore basically, you know, dress clothing no matter where we went. You know, you would dress up with nice shoes, no sneakers. You know, no tie, but basically you dress well. And by doing that, going to school, yeah, I was picked on quite a bit, obviously. And yes, it was difficult because when I came to the country, the area that I came from, Ruviano, they were all Italians. There was no other culture, involved. So I did not, you know, I didn't meet an African American until I came to this country. And understanding that didn't even know that at the time, believe it or not. You know, we heard about the shooting of Martin Luther King and all that, but we didn't. It was very difficult, not only with the African-American community, but also with the Spanish community and the Puerto Rican community to, you know, they finally warmed up to me, you know, as they understood that, you know, what I was going through. But it was difficult at first, you know, it was difficult at first, and tough to explain at home to my parents what I was going through at school.
Now, the area you moved to in Bridgeport, I know certainly my grandparents, they grew up in Town Plot, Waterbury, and that was all Italians. Did you move into a neighborhood that was all Italians, or was it segregated?
It was segregated. I had my little sister with me. She moved back there. My brother was in Southington, which was mostly, he was in the Italian community. So he didn't really have the experience we had in Bridgeport. No, it was totally segregated. Very few Italians. The only contact I had with Italians was when I went to school, basically. There was a group of Italians that that I would hang out with and speak the language with. But as far as the neighborhood, no, it was mixed. Yeah, it was different. Like I said, I had to learn the best language for me was play sports. So I got pretty good at shooting a basketball and playing some baseball. You know, that sports carried me a long way to bond with other kids.
When your family first came over here, how did they first make their living? Because I know now that there's a restaurant in your family.
Yeah, so now there's multiple restaurants in the family.
How did your family support themselves when they first moved here?
Sure, when we first moved here, my mom worked in a shop doing piecework, they call it, as many pieces as you can make. She was making a living doing that. My dad also worked in a gas meter company that's, believe it or not, I believe it just closed in Bridgeport, right off on 95. And the two of them went to work every day, basically. And I had my younger sister that I had to take care of. Beside, I used to take her to school on a bike, I remember. Snow, sleet, or rain, I get her to Catholic school. And then I went and I attended the public school, Central High School, like I said. That's how they made their living, and it was difficult because they were away all day. And, you know, basically I was left on my own roaming the streets. And, you know, thank the Lord, I didn't get into much trouble. But finally, I also got a part-time job and learned the restaurant work. I began washing dishes and traveling from where I lived to get on a bus and go into Trumbull, which was outside of Bridgeport. And that's where I worked for about a year. And eventually, my dad convinced his brothers to open up a small grocery store in Milford. And after that, they got bigger and bigger, and they decided to open up a restaurant. And the restaurant thrived, and from that one restaurant spawned, at one time, on four restaurants, each one of the brothers, it was four brothers, each one owned the restaurant.
You yourself including?
My dad. I worked
for your father's brothers.
My dad owned the restaurant in Wallingford. It was a very, very large restaurant. We were there 20 years. And his brothers owned several restaurants in Bridgeport, and now the restaurants are being handed down to their kids. In our case, we decided to sell. Basically, it was a little overwhelming. The restaurant was just too big for us, and I decided to leave and get my education and go in a different direction. And my dad now is older, so he's retired. We don't longer have a restaurant, but the other brothers still, yes, they do own restaurants now, and they're basically their kids run them. And they're still thriving, and they're doing very, very well.
Do the restaurants all have the same name? What are they?
Yes, one of the restaurants, the restaurants are Testo's Restaurant, and ours was Testo's, and there's a Testo's in Bridgeport now, and the other restaurant was Three Corners, and there's another one downtown, Bridgeport, near the baseball stadium, and called Ralph and Richie's, which is a high-class restaurant. And my cousin owns that. That was my cousin that worked with me originally at the first restaurant that we all worked together. And he's doing an excellent job. It's really a fantastic restaurant.
Very good. Earlier I asked you a distinct memory from growing up in Italy. Is there a similar memory that you have growing up as a teenager in America, something, a good memory or an interesting event that happened?
Yes, I have to say that my senior year, coming from the Bridgeport school system to Southington school system and connecting again with my community definitely was something I'll never forget. They embraced me, and again, through sports, I was able to I was on the soccer team there, and then a lot of the kids who didn't know me at the time, because I only moved into school, you know, the summer of 73, and I got to know them real quickly. We bonded, we became friends. So my group of friends that all of a sudden, there was not only two or three, there was maybe 30 of them. And that was it was very nice to be accepted like that and coming in, you know, accepting me from where I was, you know. So that was definitely a positive memory for me coming out of my senior year. And I would say that was probably the one that I would have to mention. It was very positive for me. It was a great experience.
Now, I myself am half Italian, and I know when I was younger, Sunday dinners at my grandparents' house were very important and a big event. Would you say that raising your family, I know you've raised three children and aunts and uncles, are Sundays the big day, or do you keep those traditions from Italy of trying to get together as often as you can, family being very important?
Yes, of course. I can't say that in my family Sundays are the most most special. Well, my mother and father are still alive, and we're always my mom always throws a large dinner on Sundays, and we're always welcome to go there. So that's always an opening for us, and we're welcome at any time. And of course, with as busy as we are as a family now, it's very difficult to all get together on a Sunday, but we get together as much as we can. Yes, definitely.
Could you I want to thank you, first of all, for this interview, and just to wrap things up, could you tell me your higher education after you graduated high school? What was your education from there, and your schooling, and what do you do now? What is your occupation?
Okay, for his education, I decided to do it later, to go back and finish up my bachelor's. So at 28, went back to school and completed my bachelor's.
And before then, you were operating one of the restaurants.
Right. Okay. I was basically the mainstay at the restaurant. I operated the restaurant for the family, and you know, we got to a point in my life where I knew there was something, there was a void there missing. I wanted to go back and finish my education, which I never really had a chance to. Went back to Southern part-time, finished my bachelor's, continued on to the University of Bridgeport, and completed my master's degree in education. And all meanwhile, I've been working with the state of Connecticut, and it's been a great experience with them, too. Great career. Yeah, education is definitely something that, you know, my kids also, I try to instill in my kids.
All right, well, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate you sitting down with me, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.